Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys, Real Talk. This is the Best of 2022 award show. We're going to run through, you know, five different topics for the UFC, you know, throughout the year of 2022. This is a different kind of show. We do one of these each year. If you never heard it before, welcome. It's your first time. If you've been here before, you know the drill. Maybe the topics are a little bit different than last year, but we try to get to the big ones. You know, we're going to give you our fighter of the year. We're going to give you our, you know, finish or knockout of the year. We'll give you the fight. You know what I mean? So we're just going to get to it. Lee, how are we doing, bro?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. This is always a fun show, man. I know one year we basically had the same answer. I want to say that was 2021, where we basically had the same answers. But I think we're gonna be a lot different this year. I think we're going to have a lot of different answers this year.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I know there's been cards recently where we've had mostly the same picks on the main card, but we've had times where we've had completely different picks on the main card, and, you know, there's been a few things lately that we've differed on, so it just depends. And plus, there's certain things that I feel like are better live when you're watching the UFC, like certain moments that someone was at the event, or if they just watched it live and then another person only saw the replay, like it might not be as big of a moment for you as it would for the person that saw it live. And in some of these, you know, I know what some people's picks are going to be. I know the fights that were, you know, really raved about in 2022, and some of those fights were ones that I didn't see, you know, so I didn't see it live, so I can't really, you know, either I haven't watched them to this point, so I really can't tell you how good it was, or B, I just watched it back later, and I didn't really capture that live energy. You know, when you're watching a fight that's a complete scrap and it's a banger, and you're watching it live, it's on pay-per-view, or it's the fight night main event, it has a different feel to it than if you're watching it back on ESPN+. To me, that's just my opinion. But so the fights can hit you in a different way when you have that, you know, live energy, and you're around people, and, you know, et cetera, versus if you're just watching it back, you're by yourself, just chilling on a Tuesday night, watching it back on ESPN+. To me, those are, you know, it kind of changes the way I perceive the fight. You know what I'm saying? For me, it definitely does. So, yeah, we're going to get into it. And one thing I want to say before we get into it is that shout out to Twitter. You know, Twitter, they put me in Twitter jail, @KeysRealTalk. I always tell y'all to tweet at me. And let us, you know, let me know if you have questions, let us know, whatever. If you tweet at me right now, I'm not going to be available. I probably won't get back to you. I don't even know if I'm getting my account back. So, you know, shout out to Twitter for putting me in Twitter jail. I just think it's funny how, you know, you got people out there. And I saw people since I haven't been able, like, because they got my account in this read-only mode. I can only just basically scroll Twitter. I think I can only scroll it and, like, send direct messages. I'm pretty sure that's the only two things you could do when they put you in that mode. And then, so I can't tweet or like or retweet or anything. So, but I've seen people, you know, arguing with each other and saying like really foul shit to each other, like since I've been in the Twitter jail. And I'm like, yo, how was I just like, you see people like saying really foul shit and just like terrible things about real people. And they're sitting fine. They're on Twitter, you know, doing their thing, spreading, you know, Nazi shit, spreading, you know, racism and hatred and terrible shit all the time. But when I'm on there and I'm mad because, you know, Netflix canceled the show that I just fell in love with. They just canceled my show. Hey, they canceled three of my shows, really. They canceled three in the past year the last three shows I got hooked on, they canceled all of them. But regardless, when I'm going off on, you know, a company and I'm not even going at anybody, really, you know, I'm telling Netflix, I hope you slip on a banana peel and on your way into the office. When I'm telling them that, you know, somehow I get put in Twitter jail for that, which is like super, you know, it's super playful. You know what I mean? It's very, you know, I was just kind of taunting Netflix. I wasn't like, oh, you know, craziness, you know, that, okay, I could understand, you know, there's people out there that are putting out way worse, you know, much worse behavior, much more, you know, hateful content than what I was just, you know, putting to Netflix, you know what I mean? But hey, it is what it is. Shout out to Twitter, y'all are soft, and shout out to Netflix, y'all are soft too. And you just cancel every single show. Every time there's a good show, you cancel it. So maybe we need to start not liking the shows, so then you can renew them for another season. Maybe that's the method to the madness. Maybe there's a marketing strategy that I'm not understanding it at this point. Maybe it drives revenue more if you just don't continue the shows that people like, and you continue and the ones that people aren't raving about, you keep it going. So maybe there's some kind of, you know, reverse psychology that I didn't, you know, read up on that Netflix is using in this business strategy, because what y'all are doing is trash. I'm just going to be frank, it's trash. And that's one of the things that I told them. I said, y'all, you know, you're a trash heap. It's, you know, I hope you get a flat tire on the way into work tomorrow. But, yeah, that's what it is. So Netflix is soft and Twitter's soft. And, hey, tell them Matt Keys Real Talk got to get taken out of Twitter jail, man. Tell him, hold your boy down. Do it for the real.
Yeah, man, because I can see if you was bashing Twitter, but to just say, you know, why, I hope y'all get a flat tire or, you know, banana peel or whatever, that just don't seem to be, like, that malicious to me. But at the same time, you know, that's one of the ways that a lot of companies now are getting their feedback from their customers, just through social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, stuff like that. So for them to, but I think that was more Twitter, more so than Netflix. But now at least they should give you a warning first.
Go ahead.
Yeah, at least get a man a warning first. It's like, man, y'all just going to put me in jail right off the rip? So, yeah, man, that's crazy.
I can understand. My bad. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm done.
So what I'm saying is that I can understand if you want to say, because they said it was harassment. I can understand you saying it's harassment the way I was tweeting at Netflix. But I feel like it's very, like, harmless harassment. Now, that might sound funny, but like it's very playful, like harmless harassment. It was nothing crazy. It's not like I'm, you know, putting out threats and I'm tweeting at Netflix like I'm gonna come to the office and shoot up the office. I'm gonna come kill you guys. Like it wasn't like something like that where it's like, okay, that was drastic. Like it was all very things that I was saying. Yeah, I was definitely getting at Netflix 100%. I might do it again. I'm not talking. I might do it again. I don't know. We'll have to see. But because Netflix deserves it, you know, they deserve to hear people say that what they do is wrong. They deserve to hear people's to catch flack for their bad, you know, business model of just you see people love a show and then you cancel it. Like I think that's not serving, to me, that's not serving your customers. You know what I mean? I don't see how, like, that's if a new restaurant, you know, comes out with this, you know, they make burgers, they come out with a specialty burger, and then they see that it's selling great and people are raving about it and they're getting good reviews, that means they're just going to discontinue the burger?
No, I don't mean that at all.
Yeah, but it's my point is that it's, why would, that's the same concept. It's like, why would you, so it's like if you're getting great feedback about something that you, like a product or whatever that you made or food, like I use the restaurant, why would you do the opposite of what would make sense? Is you're like, okay, let's actually make more of these. Let's order more of that, and let's actually do more of this, and maybe even make it cheaper and make it more available, you know? That's what you would do when you hear that if you're a business, and that should be your business model. You listen to what the positive feedback is. If people are saying they love something, and the ratings are up, and, oh, a lot of people are watching this show, why wouldn't you keep it there? That's just that's the point on Netflix to me. That is just total bozo behavior. I don't know what that is, Netflix. I can understand why people are watching Hulu and Disney Plus these days and HBO Max these days because, you know, at least those guys, they keep it. As far as I know, they keep most of their shows up there. Now, I don't hear people saying that they're canceling shows left and right like Netflix does. These guys are canceling shows every month. So, and it's their Netflix originals. It's like if you're trying to build your own, you know, from the ground up and you're doing your own shows and you're probably, you know, hiring your own actors and you're kind of going that way, doing Netflix originals, why wouldn't you want your Netflix original? Why wouldn't you want to put money into those and really get your name up? Like, we made that show, you know? Why wouldn't you want to do that? You know, instead, it's, you know, put 97 seasons of The Walking Dead on Netflix and run that, which that's just, you know, that show is nothing. Put that stuff and all the money into that. You know, put the marketing budget into that, but then take off, you know, the shows that you made that people are saying they love, you're going to take them away. But regardless, enough about that. At Keys Real Talk, hit me up on Twitter, because once I get out of there, I'm going to be back. And who knows? You know, maybe I got to send an appeal to Twitter and give them a piece of my mind too. But hey, whatever. We got a show to get to. The thing is this: Best of 2022 award show. We got 1, Knockout of the Year; 2, Upset of the Year; 3, Event of the Year; 4, Fighter of the Year; and 5, Overall Fight of the Year. Lee, do you want to go first, and do you want to go in that order? Or actually, how about this? Besides Fight of the Year, just pick which one of those you want to go with to go first. You could kick it off. Which one of those categories you want to hit first? Go ahead.
All right, man. Let's start the show off on a good note. Who was your upset of the year, bro?
Hold on, you go first. Give me some ideas. I got to think about this one.
All right, I had 2. I had Leon Edwards and Usman. You know, Leon Edwards was losing that fight all the way up to he pulled out the head kick knockout. But the one I'm going to go with is Aljamain Sterling beating Peter Yan, man. You know, it had been a while. It had been a fight that we've been waiting for a minute. And, you know, a lot of people felt like Aljamain wasn't the rightful champion. And he came in there and did his thing and dominated Peter Yan in that fight, man. And basically he made everybody put respect back on his name. I was kind of mad about some of the antics he was doing, why he was quote unquote champion, even though he was losing the fight at the time of the legal blow. But he came back, man, and he made everybody shut up. And I got that as my upset of the year, because I think most people had him probably as the underdog, or, you know, really didn't think that he could do much against Yan after the first fight. So, yeah, that's my upset of the year, man. I'm going with Aljamain Sterling beating Peter Yan for the Bantamweight Championship.
Yeah, I actually had to scan through real quick and think about it. But, I like you brought up Leon Edwards. I think I like that one for the upset of the year, because I definitely didn't think – I mean, they weren't even talking about – like, Leon Edwards wasn't even being – spoken about in the build-up to that fight. And, you know, that was one that I didn't see live, but, you know, it probably would have been crazy if I had seen it live. I would have had no hesitation to tell you my upset of the year if I had seen it live. But really looking back at it, I wasn't even counting Leon Edwards. I completely counted him out in that fight. And, I mean, fair enough. They say he lost pretty much the entire fight up until, you know, the last 2 minutes. And, you know, that was like a flash knockout out of nowhere. So I think you got to go with Leon for that, because that was, you know, you had a lot of movements, a lot of belts move around in 2022, but I think that one was the biggest one, you know, because Pereira, I feel like a lot of people thought Fajardo was, a lot of people were picking Fajardo versus Adesanya. So I don't really know if you could call that an upset. That one was more of an even, you know, pretty even situation going into it as far as who people were picking, but it didn't seem like anybody was rocking with Leon, and he made that happen. So I'm going to go Leon Edwards, you know, beating Usman for the title for my upset of the year. And I'm going to go. You want to pick the
next? I'm not mad about that, Pete.
All right. How about this? How about we go next category? Let's do our knockout of the year. I'm giving my knockout of the year right now. My knockout of the year is not Leon Edwards. And a lot of people might have that as theirs. That's not mine. The biggest one to me was, and some people might have forgot about this, but this was the knockout that, yo, I had two of my boys over, and we were all flipping out. Like, we couldn't believe the way, because this dude was in so much trouble at the time, and it was just like, this came out of nowhere, you know.
California.
I'm going to go with Tai Tuivasa knocking out Derek Lewis. That is my knockout of the year. If you go back and watch that fight, that was such a crazy fight up until that point. Tuivasa took so many huge shots from Derek Lewis. You would have thought he was getting Tuivasa out of there. But Tuivasa ate a lot of bombs from Derek Lewis. You know, Derek Lewis came to, and it was just like, once Tuivasa, he was ducking and dodging. It was just heavyweight wildness, you know. And when he ever hit Derek Lewis with that shot that toppled him, Derek Lewis, it looked like the Wi-Fi got shut off. Like, all signal to the tower was lost. And Derek Lewis just fell. Like, he was like a pencil. Like, he just literally flopped. Like, you see guys, like, kind of crumble, like, their body kind of – nah, he kind of just, like, toppled over like a statue. Like, that was the way it was. Because Derek Lewis was – he was KO'd right there. Like, it was kind of scary, you know what I mean? But I do think – yeah, that's got to be my knockout of the year. Shout out to Tai Tuivasa, man. That was incredible fight. And, yo, Tai Tuivasa, that's another one. Tai Tuivasa had a big year, man. Tai Tuivasa had I think Tai Tuivasa, I'm going to get to that later, but shout out Tai Tuivasa, man. That's my knockout of the year over Derek Lewis.
Yeah, I'm up here watching that one now because I didn't remember that one. Yeah, Derek went straight to sleep, though. He face planted. Yeah, Derek face planted on that one. Well, my honorable mention, I had Chandler, you know, up kicking Tony Ferguson, because actually Ferguson was winning that fight. I thought he was looking really good in that fight. Then out of nowhere, he just cranked him in the face, and night went Ferguson. But the one I'm going with, man, is I'm going with Chito Vera, man, knocking out Dominique Cruz with a leg kick. It was a very close contested fight. It was a fight that, you know, that the fighters have varied in styles. You know, Cruz has that unorthodox in-and-out kind of style where Vera, you know, he can submit you, but he's known for his hands. But in this fight, he got taken down a lot. He was missing a lot. And I thought he was losing the fight going into the final round. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, Dominique Cruz does one of his patented feints, slide to the left or slide to the right, and a perfectly placed leg kick, man, head kick, and out went Dominique Cruz, man. So I went with that one, man, because – basically, that fight really solidified the year of Marlon Vera, man, because, you know, he fought Dominique Cruz, knocked him out. Then he came back and fought Rob Font. Yeah, man, I'm going Marlon Chito Vera. But, yeah, Tato Vasa, man, he did put Derek Lewis to sleep, man. I mean, Derek face planted. So, but, you know, man. I just felt like Cheetos was probably more noteworthy because of where he was at in the rankings and who he was fighting. So, yeah, I'm going with Chito Vera.
Hey, that's a fair pick, man. I definitely didn't see that one. Not saying I didn't see you picking it. I didn't see it coming in the fight because Cruz, man, we're going to keep it real. Cruz, he was smoking Chito Vera that entire fight, man. Couldn't believe that Chito Vera had the audacity to say at the post-fight presser that Cruz's style, I forget what he was saying. He said he had like a terrible style, or he was like a very beatable style. He said something like that. Oh, like his style doesn't work anymore. And it's like, dog, what do you mean it doesn't work anymore? You were just getting dog walked with that style. What are you saying? I mean, I don't respect that. It's like, if you were real, you would have admitted that you were having trouble with his style. You wouldn't get up there and be like, oh, you know, his style is too old. Like, it, you know, he's beatable, whatever that nonsense he was saying was, because, Cheeto, you looked lost in there, bro. You looked absolutely lost. You reminded me of Deontay Wilder in there when, you know, Deontay Wilder, it's like, he's just, you can see that he's just hunting a guy for that one shot. You know, he's not really in the fight that much. He's not really in the fight. He's probably losing the fight, and he's just hunting for that big shot. You know what I mean? That's how you looked the entire fight, and you were getting beat down, like, in the striking, and it wasn't even close. So, yeah, that guy, yeah, but hey, but it did, it was come from behind, though, given that fact, because he was just down so bad in that fight. I don't think I had him, you know, winning a round up until that point, and then I think I had him losing that round, and then until the knock, fair play. Fair play. So we're gonna roll into the next one. So what we had? We had upset of the year. You had knockout of the year. Man, we might have to go. I want to do event of the year. I'm trying to remember which event it was. I'm trying to remember which event it was recently that I was raving about. I'm trying to remember. There was one that I knew was my event of the year.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first. Because I know there was one recently that I was like, wow, that was great. You go ahead.
My event of the year, it was easy. The Diaz versus Ferguson event. Because that event got switched around, almost canceled, you know, last-minute fight replacements. And then the card ended up being kind of somewhat very good, even though, you know, I want to say Ferguson got finished in the first round, maybe the second round. Our boy Holland got finished in the first round. Li Jingling, his fight went to a decision, which I thought he had won. But the card ended up being a very, very good card. But I think it was the drama surrounding the card that led to me picking this card, because it almost didn't happen. So, you know, I went with that card, bro.
I'm looking at this. I mean, I'll tell you one. And that's fair play. I would say, like, when I was thinking about the events, that was the first one that popped in my mind because of how crazy that whole shuffle was those, you know, last couple of days leading up to the fight. Leading up to the fights and how they all, you know, pretty much had the musical chairs of who was going to fight who. So if you go to, like, most memorable moment, like, that might have been the most – that was probably the craziest couple of days in the UFC in 2022. If you just talk about, like, the craziest week in the UFC, that was probably it right there. It was that week. That fight week was wild because you just had no idea what was going on. Then everybody was fighting backstage. They canceled the press conference. You had, like, Kevin Holland at the press conference, and they wouldn't let Yi Jingling out there, and he was wearing his suit. They wouldn't let him show off his suit. Like, that whole thing was just out-of-control wildness, you know. It really was. And let's see, Diaz and Ferguson. Man, that game, I want to say the cards that really stick out to me, bro, Santos, Dania. I remember I enjoyed the Pena and Nunes too. I think I enjoyed that card. That one was a good one. Ortega. I didn't even watch that one. 276 was iffy. Yeah, I think I really liked the UFC 273. I really liked Volkanovski versus Korean Zombie card. That one, I remember I had a lot of fun. That one, I was pretty much like standing up live commentating that card, man. That one, I'd say probably that one, UFC 273. I remember coming on, and that was one that I came on after and was like, yo, that was the most fun I had watching a fight in years. Like, it was, that was awesome. So that one, so 273 is definitely there. I know the Gain and Tuivasa card, I remember really liking that. That was the UFC Paris card. Yeah, you had Whitaker and Vittori on that. I remember really liking that. And what was the other one that I was just looking at? Oh, yeah. It was the this Steven Thompson and Wonder Boy card. This one was a banger. I need to see who was on this. Yeah, Roman, Pavlovich, Tuivasa, Machinel, RDA, and Barbarina. Card was awesome, man. If you look at that. You had seven fights on the main card, it looks like, and you in seven finishes. That card was insane, bro. This was a great card. Yep. Clay Guida and Scott Holtzman, I watched that fight. Angela Hill, Emily Ducard, I watched that fight. I want to say I started watching with the Clay Guida fight. Yeah, so I'm going to go. I'm thinking my card of the year is UFC 273. I think I'm going UFC 273. I just had so much fun watching that. It's not even like I'm saying that, like, fight for fight, it was the best. But I still think there was some really good fights on it. But overall, it wasn't even just that. It was just like, I enjoyed it so much. You know what I mean? Something about that car was just so fun to me. Oh, yeah, that was the one you had. Okay, yeah, you had Aljo, and that was where that Aljamain and Jan 2 was. I couldn't remember what card that was. Oh, yeah, then this. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, this was my card, man. This was it. I mean, the matchups were fire here. Ian Garry and Darren Weeks. I remember Ian Garry, I'm pretty sure, put on a clinic in that fight. That was crazy. Mark Madsen and Vince Pitchell, that one was there. Probably the most attractive fight in women's UFC history, Mackenzie Dern versus Tisha Torres. Oh, my goodness. I remember when they even just did the face-off. I was dying, bro. I was like, wow. This is probably the most beautiful, you know, face-off that will ever happen in UFC. That is crazy. Oh, my God. Even though my girl Tisha Torres lost that fight. I remember that fight was a banger, too. I'm pretty sure that was a banger. Chimaev and Burns was on this. That fight is a banger. That's actually one of my candidates for the fight of the year. I'm going to have to leak that to y'all. That's one of my – I'm trying to decide here, but that one was a banger. Sterling Yan, banger. Volkanovski and Zombie, you know, pretty one-sided, but still banger. Yeah, UFC 273 is my event of the year, man, 100%. That car was it. I think they had everything. And next year we're going to have about Fighter of the Year last week. So I think we'll go into Fight of the Year, especially where I was just taking a little bit of time right there to decide which card. I had three picks for this, for the Fight of the Year. And Chimaev and Burns was definitely a banger. That fight was crazy. It was very crazy. That one. The Tai Tuivasa and Ciryl Gane, absolute banger. And my pick for the Fight of the Year, which actually just recently happened, and I have to have this as my Fight of the Year because even though the fight became more one-sided in the fourth, I think it was the fourth and fifth rounds, the fight was still a banger. And that's Wonder Boy versus Kevin Holland. Wonder Boy and Kevin Holland, the reason why that had to be my fight of the year out of those three is because that was the fight that had me, I was like screaming during that fight. Like, you get me like, oh, you know what I mean? Like that. When you get me like that during the fight, it's like, I'm really into the fight, you know, so I can't not have that as my – I was raving about that fight. I was telling all my homies, like, yo, y'all got to go back and watch it. Even if you got to pull it up on YouTube tomorrow, y'all got to watch it. So, yeah, shout out to Wonderboy and Kevin Holland, man. They absolutely put on in that fight, and that was really – that was ninja warrior shit is what that was. So shout out to them.
Man, great minds think alike. But I'm going with the first one, man. I'm going with the first one that you said. I'm going with Burns versus Khamzat, man. You know, we've been asking Khamzat to get in a real fight. And against Gilbert Burns, he was in a real fight. And, you know, he wasn't able to do all the things he did to the people leading up to the Gilbert Burns fight to Gilbert Burns. He really didn't want to wrestle Gilbert Burns. Every time Gilbert would go down, he'll stand him back up. So that was definitely something different that we had seen for Khamzat. And it's kind of funny because I want to say this fight. I thought Gilbert Burns won this fight. But I wasn't mad that Khamzat got the win because it was a very close contested fight. They were both giving it out. They were both taking it. And that's all we wanted to see. We wanted to see how Khamzat would react being in a fight where he wasn't the overwhelming favorite. And Gilbert gave it to him. And, man, that fight just stood out so much to me. I did have this Wonderboy Holland fight as my second, but I'm going with Gilbert Burns versus Khamzat, man.
They're playing. That's a hell of a fight, man. I think in the overall, I probably would have had that at number three, and then Tuivasa and Gane at number two. Tuivasa and Gane is a banger, man. That's actually two guys that I'd like to see rematch pretty soon. Whether Gane, you know, defends, you know, his title when he wins the belt or whatever. However it has to happen, that's one that I would like to see a rematch in, because Tuivasa actually did a lot better in that fight than I thought he would. You know, and yeah, he definitely did a lot better than I thought he would. And to your point, I don't remember how I scored the Chimaev and Burns, but I definitely wasn't sure about the decision. Like, I wasn't sure if Chimaev won. You know, it was kind of one of those things. I don't really remember how I scored it, but I definitely didn't think, like, oh, this guy definitely won. You know, like, neither guy I really, like, could – who definitely won. You know, it's kind of – I thought it was a very close fight, you know. And, of course, Gilbert Burns showed us that Chimaev is human. You know, that was something that we saw there. I mean, people thought Chimaev was like the best striker, the best, you know, ground game, the best everything when he was coming in, you know, untouchable fighter. And, you know, he took, you know, he absorbed over 100 significant strikes in that fight, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, anybody can get touched. Anybody can be beaten any day. So, fair play.
Yeah, he got
you know,
lumped up
great
in that
fight. Hell yeah, he definitely did. And to close it out, we're going to go for our Fighter of the Year. So we talked a little bit about the Fighter of the Year last year. If you heard it last week, you probably know who our Fighters of the Year are. But we're going to run it back again.
I switched mine up.
Okay, he switched his up. So that's definitely something right there. I want to say that I do think that if Tuivasa would have beat Gane, which he was very close. He knocked Gane down at one point. I mean, and then he ended up losing to Gane, and then he just lost to Pavlovich. So he ended off kind of rough. But Tuivasa was having a good year, though. Knocked out Derek Lewis. He almost put Gane's lights out. You know, he did knock him down. It was very close. If he had gotten that, man, he would definitely have been in the running, because he probably would have been, you know, he wouldn't have been fighting Pavlovich. He probably would have been fighting Ngannou or somebody like this. He would have been fighting for the title. So that's definitely a close one right there. But, yeah, I'm still going with my pick from last week. I'm going with Alexander Volkanovski. I don't really think there's anybody else there that you can really put the work up against him. Who really put in more work is what I would say. It's like, yeah, guys have big moments, but it's like, who really put in more work, though? Like, whose body of work was better? I mean, Islam had a good year, but, like, really, what did he do in the year? I mean, he beat Bobby Green, respect to Bobby Green, that's our guy, but, like, he was supposed to beat Bobby Green, and it was on short notice. Bobby Green literally, not to mention, just came off a fight and then jumped into that fight, which I disagreed with him doing from the jump. Everybody was like, oh, this is great. I'm like, it's not great. I was like, Bobby Green, maybe he needed the money or whatever the situation was, or he wanted the look, or it was a big fight or whatever, but do what you need to do, get your bread. But man, that is like, that was your fight to lose, man. Like especially coming off a war that he just had, you know, he fought for three rounds and he won that, but it's like, he took punishment and then you're going to go right in and fight a dude like that, who like, that's not even your discipline. Like, you're not even really, it's like, That was a bad idea. So, yeah, I mean, Islam did what he was supposed to do in that fight, and then he was, you know, didn't have a fight the entire year until pretty much the end when he fought Oliveira and he won the belt. But, I don't really think that's enough work to grant him Fighter of the Year. So, you can't. I don't think you can go with Islam. You know, I don't think he has enough. I think Volkanovski, you know, he was supposed to fight Max Holloway the first time in April at 273. Then, you know, I think Holloway had an injury. I don't think they ever told us what the injury was, which is kind of weird. But he had an injury, ended up fighting Korean Zombie, whatever. I mean, you could say that, you know, maybe Korean Zombie wasn't the right matchup, but he was there, and he still defended, and, you know, he beat the brakes off Korean Zombie. It is what it is. I mean, Korean Zombie's, you know, in the later end of his career, it's like, yo, Volkanovski, you still got to fight these guys. They put him in front of you, you got to fight him. So it is what it is, you know, and he put on a clinic versus Korean Zombie. You know, it wasn't competitive at all at any point. And then, you know, pretty much the same thing when he did get to fight Max Holloway later on. I think it was July. I think it was on 276. When he did get to fight him, it wasn't competitive at all again. You know, Holloway really didn't even get going at any point in that fight. He didn't have any moments. Like, he got 5-0'd. And no one has ever made Max Holloway look like that, you know. And it's not often the guys really get 5-0'd like that. I was pretty bad, you know. And it sucks to say because that's another one of my guys. I love Max Holloway, but it's, you know, you got to call a spade a spade. Volkanovski beat him up, man. He beat him up good. And I think those two performances right there is already enough. And or he's already in the running. And then to top it off, he made weight to be the backup for the lightweight title fight, you know, Oliveira and Islam. And even though they didn't need him and he didn't end up getting the fight, he still was stepping up for the challenge, and he was going to try to, you know, take that third fight of the year, which a lot of champions aren't even taking three fights a year right now. And he was going to try to move up in weight for that third title fight. So I think that's Fight of the Year worthy right there.
You can't go wrong with Volkanovski, man, because of the level of competition he fought Korean Zombie, then turned around and fought Mike Holloway, you know, he put hands on the Korean Zombie. That fight could have been stopped way earlier before he knocked him out. I came down to two choices, man. Mine came down to two choices. I had Islam, who beat Bobby Green on short notice, and then turned around and totally dominated Charles Oliveira, who I think was our Fighter of the Year last year. He was basically, what he had, under 8 minutes total fight time in the octagon, or under 10 minutes total fight time in the octagon in 2022. But I went another way. I want my Alexander Pereira, man. He fought three times in 2022. He had a decision over Bruno Silva. Then he had a TKO against Sean Strickland. And then he TKO'd Izzy Adesanya for the belt. Normally when me and Keys, one of the things we do look at when we do our Fighter of the Year, we do look at how many times you fight in that calendar year. Man, it's rare that you see somebody fight three times in a year now. And Pereira did fight three times. I want to say one on with short notice. I want to say he took a fight on short notice, but I could be wrong on that one. But I went with him because he had three fights. I went with him because he did win the title. And I thought that, you know, the competition that he faced was actually very good competition. I found that Alexander Volkanovski competition was bad because we know who Max Holloway is and we know who Korean Zombie is. That's why I didn't give it to Islam, because of the short notice fight against Bobby Green. I can't give you Fighter of the Year when you're fighting a guy that basically, I think it was under 30 days that he turned around and took this fight. So I went with Alexander Pereira, man. And, hey, let's see whether or not he's a one-trick pony, whether or not he only has an Israel number. So let's see whether or not he can do some damage with that title now, man. But, yeah, I went with Pereira, man.
All right. Fair play. I know the last week you had Chimaev this week. You know, you take some time, end up changing to Pajeda. That's That's fine, Prep. Hey, they had a, you know, you put in work this, yeah, well, not this year, last year, 2022, you put in work for sure. So I totally get it. Fair play. So and another question. So this is, I'm just going to tack this on, and this isn't necessarily a 2022-related question. This is kind of a 2023-related question, but it's yet to be seen. It's just kind of us, you know, predicting it. Who do you think is going to be, like, what name would you say is going to be, I could either say who's going to be a breakout fighter, or I could say, who do you think is going to be, who's going to have the biggest year in 2023, I guess is what I'm saying. What single name is going to have the biggest year in 2023? And it's almost like me asking you, who's going to be the fighter of the year in 2023, and we haven't seen any of it yet. It's kind of like me asking you that, but I could just reword it and say, who do you think is going to have the biggest year in 2023?
At this point, I got two names. I think it could be Marlon Chito Vera. I think if you know, he's starting the year off against Sanhagen. If he could beat Sanhagen, then he'd probably get a title shot against Aljamain Sterling. And I think he has a chance of beating Aljamain Sterling and maybe having a third fight. So he could go 3-0 in 2023, just depending on, you know, how it goes with the Sanhagen fight. But I think the guy that I'm looking forward to seeing having a big year, and I know you're going to call me a homer on this one, I'm going with John Jones, man. I think we're going to get John Jones versus Stipe, I want to say early spring in the second quarter. And I think we get Jones versus Ngannou towards the end of the year, man. So I think this could be a springboard year for John Jones. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do at heavyweight. Everybody know, I don't hide this. I'm a fan of John Jones. I think he's a superior talent. We haven't seen him in Octagon in a while. But if you tell me he can string together two wins against Stipe, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time, and then turn around and beat the baddest man on the planet, Francis Ngannou, I think that'll be a good year for him. So I'm going with Chito Vera as my one, and I'm going with John Jones as my 1A. Who you got?
All right, so I'm gonna go like this. We're gonna go with John Jones and Chito Vera. Okay. So, I'm just looking at the rankings. Two seconds.
And my honorable mention will be your girl. And who the young lady name that me and you both like?
You're talking about the one that just fought Molly Meatball?
Yeah, what was her name? Oh, man, I can't think of her name right now. But I'm going to have my eyes on her this year. I'm going to see whether or not any one of the top ladies want to fight her, because I think she's going to be a force to be reckoned with, because that young lady has skills, and I love the way she fights. So I want to see if anybody going to step up and fight her. But I can't think of her name right now. I'm looking it up, but I can't.
Erin Blanchfield.
Who?
Erin Blanchfield.
Yeah, she ain't even ranked right now. Yeah, she's not even ranked right now. Okay. But, yeah, man, I got my eyes on her, dog. I got my eyes on. Yes, she is. She's number 10. She's number 10 now.
So what division is that?
Shevchenko's what? Division. Flyweight.
Right, she's number 10 at flyweight. Yeah. So, in a world right now where I feel like Shevchenko's probably going to be moving up, I think at 2030 we'll see her move up or just, like, vacate. She's going to do something. I'm not really sure, but I feel like Shevchenko would probably, like, make some kind of move. I don't know if she's going to move divisions or she's going to, like, go to another organization and try to, like, take on other champions or something. But I could see her doing something because it's just, like, not being challenged, you know what I mean? It's like she had that one, like, that last one. I actually thought I haven't seen that fight. Her and, was it Talia
Sanchez? That was a good fight.
People said that girl, you know, that was competitive. I haven't seen the fight. But, yeah, besides that, I mean, when do you even hear of Talia, you know, when do you even hear of Shevchenko, you know, being contested in a fight? So I think Shevchenko will probably move up. But regardless of it, I think Aaron Blanchfield, I mean, that's – first of all, I'm going to say this. The fighter of the year 2023, I'm going with Islam. I think Islam is going to destroy everybody in 2023. It's going to be bad. And the reason that I firmly believe that is because and you got to understand that, I mean, Lee pretty much knows this, but I changed my tone on Islam because he won so much of my respect with that performance and proved me wrong. You know, I've been wrong before. I was wrong that time, but actually I was right that time. If you really actually go back, I was actually right because I changed my prediction. I think it was like the last 2 weeks before the fight. I was like, yo, I'm going with Islam, bro. I think Oliveira's not, I didn't like the way he was sounding leading up to the fight. You know what I mean? I didn't like how his mind was on Volkanovski and he wanted to win that fight and then move down to 145 and challenge Volkanovski. I didn't like how he was, like, his mind wasn't on the guy in front of him, and all I could see from Islam was, you know, full focus on the guy in front of him, and that's all he cared about. You didn't hear Islam talking about anybody else. There was no headlines. You know, Islam didn't even mention Volkanovski during that whole, like, build-up, you know, until he was on the mic after he won the belt. In fact, I was actually right. Early on, I had Oliveira, but, you know, a couple weeks out before the fight, I changed my pick, and I was actually dead on. I said second-round submission for Islam, so I was actually precise. But the thing that I'm coming with here is that I just don't think there's anyone in lightweight that can even contest him right now. Unless one of these guys, you know, unless a Jalen Turner or somebody like this, you know, and Jalen Turner has impressed me as well. But unless a guy like that who we haven't seen in those, you know, higher level fights really, unless we see like someone like that start to break out and really show us something, then I don't think there's anyone that could beat this guy. I mean, anyone could beat anyone any day, really, in this game. Anyone can lose, but I don't think there's a high chance of it. You know what I mean? I think there's a really low chance of it. You know what I mean? Of any of these guys beating him. And I just think, you know, the way he's going to be dispatching guys, I think he'll be, unless he takes the Khabib route and just decides to fight, you know, once, maybe twice. I think Khabib was fighting once a year. I think Khabib was fighting once a year. And unless he goes that route and somehow only fights once a year, which I don't really expect from Islam, I think, you know, I mean, he's already coming back in a couple of weeks, you know, October to February. He pretty much took, you know, a month off and got right back into training. So, you know, he's moving at a fast pace already. So I think at that pace and the way I expect him to dispatch, you know, most of these guys, I think Islam will have the biggest year in 2023. And, you know, he'll probably rack up easily, you know, two or three title defenses. Hey, maybe even four. I would love to see him fight four times. That'd be epic. But, yeah, I got Islam. And then I like that you made the honorable mention of Aaron Blanchfield because I think she's a beast too. That's like, you know, for the female UFC, you know, for the ladies, that's the new one. You know what I mean? I'm always, you know, a big fan of Tisha Torres and, you know, who's the other one there at 135? Aldana. You know, I like Tisha Torres. I like Irene Aldana. Those are, like, pretty much my two right there. And then now, you know, you have Aaron Blanchfield at flyweight. So, and that, you know, I got, like, one female fighter to watch in each division pretty much. So, I think Aaron Blanchfield could definitely beat, you know, most of those girls there. I don't think there's that crazy of talent there, but I do think Aaron Blanchfield looks incredible. And I think she'll definitely go on a run. So I'm going to put her in my honorable mention as well. And there you have it, man. The 2022 year-end awards. And we even gave you a pick and an honorable mention for 2023 Fighter of the Year. So we'll see how the year plays out. Hey, maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong.
Hey, Keys, before we get off air, I got to ask you about this. came out last week. Your boy, Jake Paul, signs a PFL contract and planning on moving to MMA. He also put out there that he offered to fight Nate Diaz in boxing and then again in PFL. How do you feel about Jake Paul moving from boxing to MMA?
Yeah, that was a pretty big headline. I was reading that late the other night, and then I kind of forgot about it. But, yeah, Jake Paul in the PFL, I definitely didn't expect that. That really surprised me. I didn't think – because I did see – because I'm a fan of Jake Paul, but I don't really follow him that closely. You know, I'm here and there I'll, you know, jump into one of his interviews or something, but I don't really follow him too closely to where I always know. But it's I definitely didn't think he would go to PFL, and I didn't even take him serious. I thought he was just, you know, it was just bravado when he was like, you know, there's going to be something coming with MMA, you know, pretty soon. Because he said that like a couple months ago. I remember seeing an article like that, and it was like, you know, expect something, you know, me doing something in MMA coming up. And I was like, yeah, he's probably just saying that. Like, he's not going to do any MMA. And when I saw that he signed with the PFL, I was like, man, this is crazy. But then again, when I saw him offered Nate Diaz a two-fight deal to first have them box and then go back to the PFL cage and fight for the rematch, then it kind of made sense. I'm like, okay, like, you know, he's going about it this way. Like, I get it now. You know, it's like you're going to go to PFL, but then you're still going to call out, you know, these, like, older guys at the end of their career. It's like, and one of them is a boxing match. It's like, okay, that's pretty much what he's doing, but it's just he's giving you, you know, an MMA fight to, you know, to appease people after he, you know, destroys Nate Diaz in boxing. It's like, I give him props for stepping up, but I was telling my guys the other night that, you know, they were telling me that he's going to go on a win streak in MMA, and I'm like, nah, I don't think he's going to go on a win streak, man. They would have to, really give him straight cans that are just going to stand in front of him that he can just smash, like, for that to happen. But if he's going to be fighting legit guys in PFL and, like, dudes that, like, have multiple disciplines, like, he's not going to be winning fights. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I understand that, you know, dude is a businessman and, you know, much like a Floyd Mayweather or somebody like that where, you know, he's not going to go into something on the losing end. You know, he's going to only go into it knowing that it's, you know, the best for him and that he could be on the winning end of it. And he's not going to do anything that's going to tarnish his reputation, you know, and it's not going to make him look bad, make him lose money. So I get it when people are like, you think he's going over there to lose? And I'm like, of course not. But I do also think that if he's going to be really stepping up to fight legit fighters, that he's going to lose, you know. I don't expect – if he's going to go there, you know, I don't expect him to be taking on any real challenges, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think when I read it and then I went to the ESPN article, and then the ESPN article kind of opened my eyes to what's really going on, you know. Okay, so what it says is, Jake Paul's deal is the first of the PFL's newly developed pay-per-view super fight division, which is separate from his regular season roster. Basically, it's like you said, it's still going to be maybe him fighting guys that are retired from MMA, you know, or guys that, you know, are on the bottom half of their career. So it's like, I thought when it said he was signing with PFL, I thought he was gonna get into the regular season, get on the regular roster where he was gonna be fighting for $1 million, you know, for the tournament. So man, this thing here once again is set up for him to succeed. And then they gave him, like, some title of In addition to competing, Paul has accepted the role of head of fighter advocacy at the PFL, which will essentially see him promote the series athletes and assist in recruitment. If I'm not mistaken, PFL already had athletes on the roster. So I don't like it. I don't like it. I just think it's another way to make him look good. But depending on who they try to put him in there with, that person might still have enough gas in the tank to embarrass him in the octagon. So we shall see what happens, Keys, with him moving over to this super fight division in PFL. But it just seemed like another way of trying to shine light on him and make him even bigger in the sport when I don't even think he can do MMA. And then they said they don't even know when he will be making his debut. So you remember CM Punk? They gave him a whole year, maybe a year and a half to train. And then he got in there and got embarrassed. So, I don't know, man. I just think this is another money grab for Jake Paul. And I think it's a way of him getting all the fighting real boxers. Because it was time for him to fight real boxers after, you know, fighting Anderson Silva. So, I think this is a way for him to avoid that situation and move on to another situation that will garner him a little bit more attention and get him a little bit more followers. So I'm not taking it seriously at all.
Yeah, and especially when he's going into something like PFL's super fight division, it's like, okay, so you're pretty much, you know, going to bring your fights over to there. And I also wouldn't, and I really wouldn't doubt that it's going to be under some kind of specialized rule set too. We didn't even mention that. That's another factor. I think it'll probably be under some kind of specialized rule set that will favor him. You know what I mean? You might not even see takedowns in that super fight division. You'll probably just see stand up. And, you know, it's just going to be a big business opportunity for him. And that's something I guess I'll keep an eye out for, is to see what that rule set might look like in that super fight division. Because what it does sound like to me, at a glance is that they're just trying to get Jake Paul to, like, pull, you know, the fighters he's already fighting into the PFL super fight division and just bring his fights over there. And then, you know, he can make money on the back end or whatever he wants to do with the, you know, the Fighters Association.
Yeah, because I'm going to read the last two sentences of this. It says somebody, Davis from ESPN. What's this guy's name? So I don't mess it up. Don Davis, co-founder of PFL, the PFL chairman and co-founder Don Davis, told ESPN it's a multi-year deal. But Davis went on to say, I think it's going to be about 1 year from now, so early 2024, where you'll see him take on his first opponent. But the kind of opponents he is thinking of will shock the world in terms of their status and name brand. All right, first of all, bro, it ain't going to shock us because they are not going to be in the UFC. We know they're not going to be in Bellator. They're not going to be in ONE. So, I mean, I'm thinking, what, you going to go get, what, Tito? Well, it ain't going to be Rampage Jackson? You gonna get some of these guys that ain't for it and forever. So I'm not. Better yet, get Anderson Silva rematch in the octagon instead of in a boxing ring. Let's see how you do against him. Get Ben Askren a rematch. Let's see how you do against him in the octagon. But I'm just over it, bro.
Actually,
I'm just over this celebrity stuff.
Nah, I actually love both of those ideas. And it's funny because I'm pretty sure Ben Askren responded to the headline and said that, you know, if he could figure out whatever situation he was figuring out, like he needed like lawyers or something, help me, something with his contract, he was like, I'd gladly get in there and, you know, smash him in a rematch. And I think both of those would be great ideas, man. You put Anderson Silva in there where he can throw kicks. It's like, I like both of them, man. I like both. Touch on it more this next time. That's definitely something we're going to have to watch, especially where the dude is saying 2024 in the article. So that's something that's going to take some time to play out. And I feel like Jake Paul will probably take a – like, there's no way he's not going to take a boxing fight this whole year to just prep for that. But neither here nor there. We got more time to talk about that. We had a great show tonight. We did our 2022 year-end awards. We got the five of them, you know, hit us up on Twitter, hit up our – joint page, Lee and Keys Real Talk. Let us know if you disagree with any of our picks. If you tweet at me, it probably won't even do anything because I'm like banned from Twitter right now for the time being. So, you know, don't bother. Tweet at Lee or tweet at Lee and Keys Real Talk and let us know what you thought about our picks or if you want to give us yours, you know, what we're open is. So that's pretty much all I got. Shout out to everybody who listens to us. Lee, thank you for the show. This is always, you know, I always appreciate jumping on and breaking down, you know, whatever we're talking about with you. So shout out to you. And that's all I got. Floor is yours.
Yeah, man. I posted all our picks on Twitter, on our Lee and Keys page, our picks. Just to recap, upset of the year, Keys won with Leon Edwards. Usman, I went with Aljamain Sterling over Petra Young. The event of the year, I went with Diaz versus Ferguson. Postman Diaz versus Chimaev. There was a lot of drama surrounding that. Keys went with UFC 273. Vote versus Korean Zombie. He said it was fun to watch. Knockout of the year, I went with Tito. Head kick over Dominique Cruz. And Keys went with Tuivasa knockout. Derrick Lewis, with Derrick Lewis face planted in his hometown of Houston, Texas. Derrick Lewis, stop fighting in Houston, man. You don't win in your hometown. Stop fighting there. If the UFC come to you again and say, hey, Derrick, we fighting in Houston, say, hell no. Say, I ain't never fighting there again. All right. Fight of the year, I went with Burns versus Chimaev. Keys won Wonderboy versus Holland. I had Wonderboy versus Holland as my runner-up for my fight of the year. Fight of the year, Keys went with Alexander Volkanovski. I went with Alexander Pereira. And our fighters that we wanted to keep an eye on for 2023, Keys went with Islam, and I went with I went with John Jones and Marlon Vera. And both of us had to keep an eye on Eric Blanchfield as far as a female fighter. Everybody have a good day, good evening. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. As always, Lee and Keith, we end the shows with a peace.